From the Farm Credit Studios, this is On the Farm Radio. Rural and agricultural news coming up next.
Your land is your legacy. But keeping your woods thriving, healthy, and properly managed is no small task. The Family Forest Carbon Program can help you care for your land now and into the future. We provide guaranteed annual income, help developing a forest management plan, and advice from forest professionals. By participating in the Family Forest Carbon Program, you'll be improving your own wooded lands, ensuring they're maintained and healthy for future generations, while supporting your community and helping make an impact for the planet. If you own 30 acres or more of forest land, you may be eligible to enroll in the Family Forest Carbon Program. Visit familyforestcarbon.org to learn more and enroll today. The Family Forest Carbon Program was developed by the American Forest Foundation and the Nature Conservancy.
You're listening to On the Farm Radio with Jeff Ishii.
Well, many farmers in our region have been monitoring soil temperature closely over the past few weeks, especially in late April and here in early May. That's because the temperature of the topsoil makes a big difference when it comes to germination of seeds. You don't want it too low, you don't want it too high. Soil temperature needs to be within a certain range. That's according to Rosemary Life with Cooperative Extension. She says farmers have several ways they can measure soil temperature. One is with a thermometer.
So you can purchase them online. You can go from like $20 all the way up to $400, depending on how fancy of a model you would like to get. But definitely keeping track of it. So you want to check it in the morning around 6 or 7 a.m. because that's going to give you the most consistent soil temperature versus if you take it mid-afternoon, it's going to rise, obviously.
Rosemary Life with Cooperative Extension.
You are listening to On the Farm Radio with Jeff Ishii.
Well, this weekend we have a special feature report on the topic of fertilizer.
Finding ways to increase U.S. fertilizer production and offset current rises in input costs. The Agriculture Department, along with federal partners, agribusinesses, researchers, and the private sector, are collaborating on a series of short-term and long-term steps to address these matters.
There's no question ensuring our farmers can obtain the fertilizer they need at a price they can afford is a long-term problem, but one that also demands immediate solutions both for our farmers and our consumers. That's why we are tackling this challenge head-on right now as we're moving into planting season.
I'm Rod Bain. Agriculture Secretary Brooke Rollins is among those joining us as we cover actions to address concerns related to fertilizer production and price in this edition of Agriculture USA. Concerns about enough domestic fertilizer production, let alone enough fertilizer ingredients for production, and in turn higher input prices, well, that's been on the mind of farm producers for some time. It's also been on the mind of several in the ag sector worried about impacts on a grower's bottom line. Chris Glenn of the Fertilizer Institute shares some of what he believes needs to be done to address these challenges.
In a very kind of big umbrella general way, overall increasing domestic production of fertilizers here in the United States, making sure that permitting is going in an effective way and it doesn't take 10 years and tens of millions of dollars to expand a mine or create a mine. The designation of potash and phosphate as critical minerals would help with the permitting process and cutting some of that red tape.
A recent visit with farm broadcasters gave Agriculture Secretary Brooke Rollins and other members of the Trump administration opportunity to present actions done and to be done on the federal level to boost fertilizer production and lower input cost. She starts with measures designed as short-term solution contributions.
In March, President Trump suspended the Jones Act for 60 days to boost shipping flexibility and help vital resources like fertilizer flow more freely to U.S. ports,
with a further extension of the waiver granted in late April.
We saw this tool used in early April for several anhydrous ammonia delivery. So we've seen it actually in action, and we expect more fertilizer to come in under this waiver in the coming days and weeks.
Increasing fertilizer ingredients supplies in the short term includes actions such as:
we are working daily alongside both Treasury and state with companies looking to send us their urea and sulfur, rewriting diesel exhaust fluid rules. For example, the Dakota Gasification Company has deliberately prioritized higher urea production while reducing DEF output.
Additional short-term actions include designation of phosphate and potash as critical minerals for our nation, allowing for faster permitting of mining projects. Also, antitrust enforcement by USDA and the Justice Department to, in part, harness input cost.
And the private sector is stepping up. CF Industries has delayed their scheduled maintenance on their ammonia plant in Donaldsonville, Louisiana, supplying an additional 100,000 tons of granular urea to U.S. customers that otherwise would not have been available this planting season. Pivot Bio is also allowing customers to lock in their prices through the 2028 season.
Now, what about possible long-term actions to assure more than adequate domestic fertilizer production capabilities and supplies at lower cost related to fertilizer production and what growers pay? The secretary says those will include...
At our rural development mission, we continue to build out production through a $900 million fertilizer production expansion program, and we are now working around the clock with a lot of these, dozens of these projects, to bring them to fruition.
Also, there are new federal avenues of financial support to build up the nation's fertilizer production capabilities. For instance,
fertilizer projects investing over $1 billion in the United States infrastructure may be eligible for assistance from the Department of Commerce's Investment Accelerator, which is currently overseeing $750 billion available.
And through the Energy Department,
Energy Dominance Financing Program, financing critical materials projects, notably just provided an over $1.5 billion loan for an Indiana ammonia project.
In addition, efforts to streamline the permitting process for fertilizer facilities will continue.
Primarily EPA, Department of Commerce, DOI, and the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers are specifically streamlining to put at warp speed permitting for air, water, chemicals, environmental review, safety, and transportation. One example, soon getting across the finish line to officially permit the CF Industries new world-scale ammonia facility at Blue Point Complex in Louisiana, which is expected to be the largest ammonia plant in the world.
This has been Agriculture USA. I'm Rod Bain, reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
Today's program is made possible by Virginia Cooperative Extension, which is conducting a survey of farmers located in Virginia within the Chesapeake Bay watershed. This is an opportunity to tell your story of what you're doing to improve soil and water quality. The voluntary survey is found at ext.vt.edu or your local office of Virginia Cooperative Extension. Virginia Cooperative Extension is an equal opportunity employer.
Serving rural America, online at onthefarmradio.com.
Our pearl of wisdom this weekend is from that famous columnist, Ann Landers, who said, "It's not what you do for your children, but what you've taught them to do for themselves. That'll make them successful human beings." That's your pearl of wisdom. You're on the farm, and I'm Ish.